So beautiful, right? Yeah. It starts to put us in a place of calm and peace, and I hope that's where you're at tonight, because Thanksgiving can be stressful, and actually, even tonight, my stress level started creeping up because I didn't get the memo that everybody back here is wearing boots tonight. Did you get the boot memo? I did not get, and so like I'm not even wearing the right clothing. Robbie, thanks for telling me I was supposed to be wearing boots. My gosh. But it can be stressful, and I know some of you know that. I mean, if you're hosting, you gotta clean, you gotta, you know, get the food, you're doing all this stuff. Sometimes you're making things you only make once a year, and you wanna make sure it's just perfect for your family, let alone cleaning the house. Some of you might actually be fretting about either the house you're gonna have to go to because of a certain person and what they might say, or that you know that they're coming over and they're unpredictable. I mean, I get the stress level. But then on the other hand, what you see is that there are those who don't have people problems, but maybe they're eating alone. Maybe it's the first Thanksgiving or even Christmas without, and then fill in the blank. Maybe there are, and we know that there are gonna be some who won't even eat at all. And so Thanksgiving can be stressful, either from too much human contact or not enough. And so it's a tough time. I get that. I mean, in all seriousness, it can be stressful for many, many reasons, and I get that. I mean, even for me, tomorrow morning by 5:15, I'll be back at the airport flying back to San Francisco. My wife, if you didn't know, my wife had major cancer surgery a week ago, and she's up in Northern California, and I'll be flying back first thing in the morning so that I can start cooking for the family that is coming in. So I understand a little bit about stress, but I'll tell you what, I'm just trying to keep things simple this year. I've been watching a little bit of Food Network, and I was thinking to myself, that there were some great TV shows on holiday cooking to keep things simple. And since I'm the cook, I want to share with you what I gleaned from Food Network to keep it simple. So if any of you are still struggling with a menu, here's what I found on Food Network that I think is going to work for everybody. It is Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. I guess that wasn't Food Network. But if you haven't seen it, the menu is super simple. It's pretzels, jelly beans, popcorn, and toast. There we go. So we're just gonna keep it simple. But you know why some of the reason that Thanksgiving can be stressful for some folks is this: social media. You see the vitriol online. You see the anger, you see the, I'm drawing a line in the sand and everyone is on edge, all this negativity, either it is political opinions or it's people hating on people, or probably more specifically, people hating on groups of people, and you think to yourself, am I gonna be surrounded by somebody in my family that's gonna say something that I just don't wanna hear? And so it can be stressful. I totally get it. And not only that, but it has spilled over to the holiday of Thanksgiving itself, which I can't believe. I mean, let's just leave the holidays alone, but now even online, there's arguments about Thanksgiving. And I'm going to just show you one. And this is, to me, it's upsetting, is people hate cranberry sauce. Like, who's writing this stuff? Like, well, who needs this kind of hate in their life, right? I'm like, is there somebody here who doesn't like cranberry sauce? I just need to know. Oh my gosh. Pastor Brian, we just need to get this done with right now. This is something I know you can buy it year round, but I only eat it once a year. If we could put this in a pie tonight, I would totally. I love jelly cranberries. So, but here's the thing. We are a church that loves everybody. If you don't like canned cranberries, that's fine. We love you too. And if, Just that if you like it, I love you more. That's how that is. Here, you can have the rest, Brian. I've only taken one bite, you know, so it's good. But we have all of this stuff going on that people are arguing, and it's to a place in society. And you know what I'm talking about. We come to the place where it's like you're either with us or you're against us. And that might leave you a little less than thankful in this season when you see all the division that is going on. And when you see this kind of stuff, you're not thankful. And it's funny that even Jesus encountered people who were less than grateful for the things that were going on around them. So you have Jesus, and he feeds 5,000 people. 5,000 people. I mean, it probably is even more than that. And he did it to show that he cares. Jesus fed 5,000 people in this kind of huge outdoor moment to show that God is real and that God cares. And the thing was, they were out in the middle of nowhere on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, on the other side where there wasn't much going on. And as a matter of fact, it was the end of the day. And the people had been there listening to Jesus teach, and they were getting hungry, and unlike Las Vegas, the McDonald's over there was not 24/7. And so Jesus said, let's feed them with 2 fish and 5 loaves, and he produced this miracle where he fed all these people, and the sheer magnitude of this miracle showed that Jesus was just not an ordinary guy. It is an amazing thing. And you know what? And I kind of feel that way about anybody who puts on a Thanksgiving meal for more than 20 people, like they have everybody over. Like, that is a miracle that you can pull that off. If any of you are doing that tomorrow, my hat is off to you. But Jesus pulls this off with 5,000. And as soon as he has done this incredible thing, he leaves. He just gets up and he goes away. And the very next day, he's back on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, right? And he's back with his people. He's back in his hometown and where he's been doing ministry and all this stuff. And the people who were left on the other side start looking for him. And when they finally catch up to him, they ask him a question. They said, Rabbi, when did you get here? Notice it wasn't, hey, there's Jesus. Thank you for feeding us yesterday. It wasn't, oh, there's Jesus. Wow, that was a miracle. We really want to follow you now because you are amazing. We've never seen anybody do that. No, it's, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus, being Jesus, was totally onto their ungratefulness. I mean, he knew what was in their hearts, and he says to them, he says, look, I tell you the truth. You're looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and you had your fill. Boom, mic drop. He nails it right there. He says, you aren't interested in me at all. You're not even interested in what my Heavenly Father is about. You came looking for me because you got a free lunch yesterday and you want one today. That's where he's going. And so he goes on. And he says this, he says, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. And the crowd, you know, those same ones that said, well, Jesus, when did you get here? They're like, okay, we'll play this game. Okay, fine. If this is where we're going to go, we'll play the game to get the free stuff. And they said, okay, so what do we have to do? Because they're thinking about their next meal. And he says this, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. He said, it's not about food at all. It's about Jesus. I mean, the point of the miracle was to point to the goodness of God. And the one performing the miracle is the Son of God, so believe in him. And at this point, you would hope, if you were reading the story, you would think to yourself, okay, the people get it now. Got it. That's what they're going to do. They're going to say, oh, okay, we'll start believing in you. But they don't. Not even close. Matter of fact, their response to me personally, it's like it takes guts to say the thing that they're about to say. And this is what they say. They say, okay, so what miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? You catching on to this here? He says, okay, what will you do? Our forefathers ate manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. So they're like, okay, we'll totally follow you. So how are you going to feed us again? They're working him. I mean, can you imagine the intestinal fortitude it would take to say, okay, Jesus will follow you, now you got to feed us again. I mean, that would be like any of you who are hosting dinner tomorrow, that same group of peoples show up on your doorstep on Friday thinking that they're going to get fed again, and they're like knocking on the door, and they're like, okay, what's on the menu? We ate yesterday. We want to eat again. And you'd be like, why are you even here? I'm still doing dishes from Thursday. Go away. I mean, besides, the leftovers, they're mine. But here's the thing. Here's the point. When you cultivate an attitude of entitlement, that someone owes you something, we always tend to be less grateful. I can remember a few years ago, there was a comedian, and he was on a late-night show, and he was talking about flying across country. And a few years ago, it was when they unveiled being able to have internet on the plane. And it was like the new thing that you could actually get online while you're flying. Now, some of us avoid that, but it was a novel thing. And he's like, okay, so we're on this plane, and they're saying, you can actually use your computer or your phone and on the plane, it'll be great. And the guy next to him starts to use it, and the whole system crashes. And the guy says, well, that's bogus. And his whole day is ruined. Like, his life is over because this new and greatest thing has failed him. And his life is now miserable because he cannot have internet on the plane, even though it's brand new. And this comedian made an astute observation. And it was this. Everything is amazing. All this technology and all this stuff. And no one is happy. We have all this great stuff, and yet it doesn't make our quality of life any better. Because satisfaction isn't found on internet on the plane. It's not found in coupons. It's not two for ones. It's not even Black Friday deals. You will not find happiness there. It is found in the simple things. Satisfaction is found in people who love you. It is found in a simple meal, sometimes as simple as bread and wine. Simple things like there is a God who will never leave us. And there are times when we doubt that. I get it. Life is hard. And Jesus knows that, and he just tells us straight up. So he never promised us a rose garden, if you know that. He says this. He's like, look, in this world, you will have trouble. That's just the way it is. He says, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. That is the good news, is that Jesus walks with us. And I can't help but think about those folks who came across the ocean to find their little corner of the earth, right? To have religious freedom. And when they got here, they had this choice to make. I mean, they could have cursed God after losing over half of their loved ones when they left England through illness and cold, yet instead they thanked God that some of them were still there. I mean, they could have cursed God that they did not end up in Florida but on Plymouth Rock, right? Like something went wrong with that compass. But they thanked God, and they chose to be thankful just to be there. I mean, we can go through life complaining and expecting something for nothing, or we can cultivate gratitude to be thankful. Because here's the thing, is I'm going to just tell you that God's going to love you whether you're grateful or not. I mean, that's how God is. God's going to love us whether we are entitled, whether we are self-centered, or whether we are the most thankful people. But it seems wrong to me personally not to want to give thanks. I have to tell you, I don't take much for granted anymore. I mean, I don't believe anybody owes me anything. And honestly, I'm thankful for the small things anymore. I mean, I could care less about what we're eating tomorrow as a family. I'm just glad we're together. I'm thankful that after my wife had major surgery, she is feeling better. Small things. I am grateful the fact that she had cancer and that it was fully contained and removed. I can't tell you how relieved I am that she will not have to face chemotherapy or radiation treatment because the surgeons did what they said they were going to do. But I'm also grateful for those here who call this their church home. I'm grateful for your love and your understanding and your patience while the Berggren family is going through this difficult time. But most of all, I am thankful for a God who is with me and with my family and with you every step of the way, whether the journey is up here or down in the depths, God walks with us. So don't let the small things get in the way of seeing Jesus. And I hope you all have a blessed and happy Thanksgiving.